It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So when the Yankees lost last night, they have now dropped 5 consecutive home games that have reached extra innings. They now have a record of 1-5 at home in extra innings. And I started to give a thought. I started to think to myself, is that just a coincidence? Is that it? There's nothing there? Or, you know, we got to think about the new rule. There was a Manfred man on second base. Is there a reason why the Yankees have been so bad at extra inning games at home? And I have my reason. And I think last night is a perfect example of it. Last night, the Yankees, somehow, some way, kept the Guardians from not scoring in the 10th and the 11th inning. Now, when you do that, you should win. I mean, the advantage is so in front of you when all you've got to do is get that guy from second around to score. You know, when you are starting the top of the 10th inning, yeah, you'd like to get that run home, but that may not be enough. So the way you strategically play out an inning can be very, very different. The Yankees somehow, and think about how many times this probably happened, they don't give anything up in the 10th, they don't give anything up in the 11th, and they still lose an extra inning game at home. How the hell is that possible?
Strategery.
I think it comes down to the fact that this team's situational hitting is so bad. That's the answer. And you kind of saw it last night. I mean, think about the opportunities they had in the 10th and 11th inning of that game where all they needed was good contact and they win. Think about that. And that's what it comes down to. It started with Trent Grisham. Juan Soto grounds out to second base, advances the runner to third. Okay, it's an out, but the good news is you now have the winning run 90 feet away with less than 2 outs. And Trent Grisham, it's a fly ball to the outfield, a short fly ball to the infield. So 1-5 at home in extra innings. Now, luckily, this is not something to worry about in the playoffs because luckily we don't have this stupid rule come postseason time. But that's why they're so bad at this, because their situational hitting, and it was on absolute full display last night, is atrocious. That's what it comes down to. But think about it. 1-5 at home in extra inning games. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Chris in the Bronx. How you doing, Chris? What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, but thanks for getting me on.
No problem. What's on your mind?
Just want to talk about yesterday's Yankee game and how that whole, from the beginning, the whole game. Now, I still think they're going to make the postseason, which is obvious, but
sure.
That whole game showed every single weakness and problem that the Yankees had throughout from the beginning of the game. Our 2 best hitters did their job. Right off from the start, so right. we're good. Then there's base running errors. Then there's just regular errors. Then they couldn't do situational hitting. Everything the whole season we've seen, now that we're in August, about to come into September, every problem was in one game.
Yeah.
And that, what I just thought about yesterday was I can't wait for September call-ups because DJ, Grisham, those guys should not see the field at all. That's all I have. Thanks.
Well, keep this in mind. September call-ups really don't do that much because all you do is add 2 roster spots. I mean, that's the world we live in now. It's not like the old days where you could add 10 guys to your roster. So when the Yankees call up extra guys, it's really going to be Jason Dominguez. I assume we'll get the call in September. And then 1 bullpen arm. But you are right. When you list like all the Yankee issues, and I put that poll out on social media a couple days ago, and I said, how and what will be the story of the New York Yankees postseason run in 2024? Option 1, they win the World Series. That's the story. Option number 2, starting pitching fails. Option number 3, their offense fails. Option number 4, Clay Holmes blows a big game. Well, Clay Holmes last night was fine. He came in and actually looked pretty good, struck out 3 guys. So for all those that say, well, he can't be a closer, doesn't strike enough guys out, he gave you plenty of those last night and pitched fine. But the starting pitching, even before Heel had the back issue, wasn't very good. Heel walked six guys in this game. Their offense was on full display. They were 1-for-16 with runners in scoring position. 1-for-16, which is almost difficult to pull off. You've got the base running mistakes. You've got the defensive miscues. The only thing we really didn't see until the very, very end was the bullpen, because the bullpen did a great job. I mean, Tim Hill pitched great. Mark Leiter Jr., outside of the pickoff mistake, pitched well. Luke Weaver pitched well. Tommy Canely's been great. I mentioned Clay Holmes. How about Jay Cousins? I can't believe that we actually have to compliment Kirk Cousins' cousin. But Jay Cousins been great out of the bullpen. That really didn't implode until the 12th inning with Tim Meiza, who I swear, if I asked, even if I asked Lugie, who's a good baseball fan, if I said, what team is Tim Meiza on? I don't think you would have known he's on the Yankees.
I would have said the Minnesota Twins. That sounds like a twin.
He was Tim Meiza. I would have said he's still on the Blue Jays. I forgot.
I didn't even know he was on the Blue Jays. I'm sure he's been on our fantasy teams 150 times.
Yeah. They've all been there, man. I mean, one thing about relievers, this is why Lugie and I know so much about relievers, because they've all been on our fantasy team.
We're sickos. By the way, did you say who won that poll? Do we have the results of it?
Yeah, the winner of that poll was basically what happened last night, the offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's what Yankee fans have seen over the last couple of years. You would think the addition of Soto would help. Now, I wonder if Jazz was still healthy if it would have won.
They would have won. I said that earlier, and I know that it doesn't even matter. Like, I could say it again, but who the hell cares? Jazz didn't play. So what does it mean? But if Jazz Chisholm is in the lineup the last 2 days, I think they win both games, bro. I think they win the game against the Tigers on Sunday as well.
I meant the poll. I wonder if Yankee fans would have more confidence in the lineup if it wasn't just Soto, Judge, if they had Jazz with them, you know what I mean? Boone actually put guys in the lineup that should be. Dominguez should be up here.
Here's the problem with the Jazz Chisholm thing. He's not in the lineup. Like, he's not active right now. And it looks like he'll be back soon. And Jazz is talking about it in a positive way, that he could come back as soon as he's eligible. Boone says, probably not. We'll see. But as of right now, you're only reacting to what you're watching. And think about last night's game. Aaron Judge, fine. Juan Soto, fine. Anthony Volpe did have two hits. He had a good productive day. But outside of that, it was everybody else that couldn't get the big hit. So the thing that Yankee fans mostly fear, which is the offense just completely disappearing come postseason time, well, against a postseason contending team, against the team you may see in the postseason, that's exactly what happened. Now, I thought they did a good job against Matthew Boyd, the lefty. I mean, they drew a bunch of walks. They had their best offense against him. They hit a couple of home runs. But then the Cleveland bullpen went to town. They did an excellent job. Let's go to Bobby in Yonkers. What's up, Bobby? Hello, Bobby.
Hey, what's up, boys? How you doing, man? Big fan of you guys, man.
Thank you, man. What's going on?
Hey, look, I'm here with my 8-year-old son, Jack, and we got a big issue with Grisham from last night. So I want to defer Rojas. I don't think it was his fault. I think Grisham, stutter stepped and took his time around second base, and then also just kind of also, stutter stepped at third base, too. If he ran hard, like a real major league ball player should,
he scores.
We would have won that game.
I agree.
You know, and he's dogged it. You know, what was that play in center field from, like, what, 2 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why Boone does not sit him and don't put him back in the lineup.
Well, because,
I mean, come on.
Because think about it, last
night.
This guy
looks like he's a 70 porn star, and it's got to stop. This guy's horrible.
He does look like a 70s porn star. I mean, I can't disagree with that. I think the problem was, last night he's used in the role as pinch runner. Like, when Giancarlo Stanton plays, and he's still a productive player, and he's still important to this team. I think we all know that. I think that's become obvious based on the way this lineup is kind of laid out this year. I mean, Stanton is an important piece of this lineup, but he can't run. So when Giancarlo Stanton is on base in a tie game or a close game late, you have to pinch run for him, and Trent Grisham is there to be said pinch runner. That's his job. So the reason he's in the game is not because they need to get that 190 stick in the batting order. No, they get him in there because he's supposed to be relatively fast. But he's very replaceable. As good as he is defensively in center field, I don't think any Yankee fan ever needs to see him ever again. Aaron Judge is fine in center field, and most of the time when this team is healthy, that's where he should be playing. But he was in that game just to give you, like, a guy who could actually run. Giancarlo Stanton can't run. Giancarlo Stanton would have been lucky enough to get to third base on that double, you know, let alone score. But I do agree, if we're assigning the blame between Grisham and Luis Rojas, it's both, but it's mostly Grisham. I could not believe. So when Austin Wells hits that ball off the fence, my first reaction is to laugh. I'm laughing at Aaron Boone. I'm laughing at what we talked about earlier in the show that day, in which I'm screaming and yelling. I mean, how do you not play Austin Wells? What the hell are they doing? Jose Trevino, give me a freaking break. I don't want to hear how he mashes lefties. He's hitting 200 against lefties. Let the kid play, let the kid play. So when Wells comes in as a pinch hitter and he crushes one off the wall, my first reaction is to laugh. My second reaction is to say, oh, well, crush him scoring. I could not believe that he got thrown out at the plate. I couldn't believe it. I'm looking over saying, how is that humanly possible? But it happened. Let's go to Lou in Astoria. How you doing, Lou?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, sweet Lou?
Listen, I'm glad you brought that up about it. I never remember the Yankees winning a game in the extra inning, and I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah. So it was one, because I don't remember. But the situation is, and you guys refused to mention it, is that also the big guys at the beginning, they hit it. Home runs, okay?
Yeah.
And then they had a chance to put that game away.
Yeah.
Soto and the big guy, they make money, okay? That's why when we go to the playoff,
yeah,
we don't do any, we don't get nothing done. Now, you're talking about gas being the difference? These guys struck out five times in a row in a game and the next game. And you're going to tell me that he's going to be the Scott Rogers now? I don't understand. Look at the back of his baseball card.
Right,
you and Tommy Loogie, you guys are wrong. Take care.
Hold on. First of all, what did he say we were wrong about?
I don't know. I just can't get Trent Grisham's porn stash out of my head now. Trying to watch the game. I'm trying to think about porn in the 70s, and now we're wrong about Scott Brosius or something. I
didn't understand what we were wrong about. Now, as far as ripping the big guys for not hitting in the postseason, let's be fair about something. Juan Soto hasn't had that chance yet. So let's put Juan Soto aside. If you want to complain about what Aaron Judge has done in October throughout his Yankee career, fine. I mean, there's nothing you could do about it, and there's nothing he could do about it till October. It's just one of those things that needs to change. And we all know that. And that's obvious. And you're right. So I'm not going to argue with you. Aaron Judge needs to have a big October. I think we've all talked about that a lot, not only for the Yankees to win. I know Sean even mentioned it last week for his legacy. Yeah, that's all true. Juan Soto has not failed nor succeeded in Yankee October baseball yet. So that one you put aside. Now, the Mets gave up the game-tying run to the Baltimore Orioles. Sean Manaea was allowed to start the eighth inning, issued a little infield hit. Jose Buto came in, had some control issues, which is his normal thing, and the Orioles tied the game on a sacrifice fly, but they did get through the eighth inning. So the Mets and the Orioles are tied at 3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Now, you're telling me, Loogie, that the Mets got hosed on something?
Yeah, so there was a clear strike, and they called it a ball. The guy walked, and they would have thrown the runner out at second base.
I saw that. What was it? Did he swung, or was it a strike
just
missed?
It was just missed. It was pretty much right down the middle. And then, obviously, the guy is, you know, safe at second now because the guy walked. So it should have been, you know, a double play.
All right. I'll go back and make sure and see if Louie's being fair, because it may have just been a ball, and it's a bad, a good call that we're just bitching about.
Positive Tommy's always fair.
Are you always fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure. So I am looking. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It was down the middle.
Right down the
plate. I'm looking at StatCast, the 3-2 changeup that Jose Buto threw. I'm not even exaggerating. And this isn't me giving an opinion. I'm looking at a graphic. You know how you can go to MLB, you can watch StatCast? It is right down the middle. Yeah, it's a bad call. That's a horrible call. And after that, Buto walked Jackson Holliday, got a huge strikeout with bases loaded, nobody out, and then gave up the sacrifice fly to Adley. And so the Orioles and the Mets are tied at 3, bottom of the eighth inning. Terrible call, but guess what? You got to overcome it. That's baseball. That's sports. Got to overcome it. It sucks. I'm looking at it. I can't argue with you. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible call, but you got to overcome it now. This is a very, very important game for the Mets and the Yankees. Hi, Yankee fans. You need us. All right? I need you. You need me. Yankee fans for Mets. Jeez. I don't know if Craig's copyrighted that. I think it was the other way around. By the way, tonight, right here on WFAN, Brandon Tierney will be in the Yankee booth.
I was wrong.
And when I heard the news, I immediately texted him and said, hey, dude, congratulations. But I also told him something else that Brandon was not thinking of. And Brandon thinks of everything, but he didn't think of this. And now I think it's going through his head. And I want to share what I told him. Because I didn't think about this either. It just popped into my head. If the New York Yankees win the World Series this year, everybody who broadcasts gets a ring. So my assumption is, if the Yankees win the World Series this year, whether it's Justin Shackle, or it's Ricky Ricardo, or it's Craig Carton, or it's Keith McPherson, or it's Brandon Tierney, they're all getting rings. Tell Keith that too. I mean, how can they not? Broadcasters get rings when a team wins a championship.
But so, even in a spot start like that, or is it just like the Susans, okay, the Rickies, the Emmanuels, the Shackles?
Let me ask you a question. I'll throw it to the Mets then for you. Let's say the Mets win the World Series, right? They win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Does Joey Wendell get a ring?
Yes, right?
Yes, he does.
I got news for you. This better not apply to this radio show. When we finish first in the ratings, no fill-ins are getting my bonus money, okay? You better not be cutting Amanda a check, okay? I want all the money. Why do these chooches get rings? The guy's doing two games.
Run me my money.
You're telling me because Craig did three games, this guy's going to get a World Series ring?
Well, I think Craig was getting a World Series ring anyway because he's very close with the New York Yankees.
That's fair.
So I wasn't even going to include him, but I mean, he will, but I'm not surprised. But I would say Keith McPherson and Brandon Tierney are entitled to championship rings if the Yankees win the World Series.
So I assume that when the Mets win the World Series, Joey Wendell's Jorge Lopez is invited to the parade and they get on the float. Does this mean BT and Craig are on a float now?
I don't see the float thing may be put. I don't know about that. I don't know. And honestly, like, the float's a great experience, but you know how valuable those rings are?
What, right? Are they going to sell them off the back of a truck?
BT could get like an easy $20,000 for that one.
He's not. BT is, this I know about BT. There's no way he would ever in a million years sell that ring.
Who would be more likely to sell their ring? Brandon, Keith McPherson. That's it, because those are the only two that have filmed.
Wow. I don't think either one of them
would. Yeah, I don't think either would, actually.
No, both of them, I think, are collectors, and that's such a special thing. Like, that's such a unique thing to get that. Like, yeah, $20,000's great, don't get me wrong, but, like, you can't sell that.
I am going to confirm, though.
Unless for $1 million, then you would.
Look, everybody's got a price, as we said.
Right.
I am going to confirm it, but I am under the belief that they would all get championship rings. Like, that's what happens when broadcasters see their team win a World Series.
Sign me up.
Did you broadcast with the Yankees?
No, but I want to now.
Hold on a second here. Now, wait a second here. If the Mets win the World Series, and we just heard from him yesterday, does 9-year-old Kingston get a ring, the kid caster?
That's a great question.
He did an inning.
Yeah, you know what may be the problem with poor little Kingston? The official game rule. He only did a half of inning. Like, I think you need to get to 5 innings to qualify. That's what I heard the rule is, yeah. Like, Brandon's doing 2 games. Apparently, Susan is under the weather. We wish her all the best. So, BT's doing the game. He's doing the analyzation, the generational talent analysis work, along with Justin Shackle. But he's doing two full games. That's 18 innings. Like, Craig did 27 innings. Keith McPherson did, I think it was 3 games or 2 games.
I thought he did a series, Keith.
I think he did a whole, that's 27 innings. Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think Kingston may have fallen a little bit short. But, yeah, that's my understanding of the rules. So I do want to congratulate Brandon and Keith on world championship rings if they win the World Series. That's the other part. They got to win the World Series. I don't know if that's going to happen. They got a shot. I mean, it's certainly possible. But keep that in mind, you know, if you're watching the Yankees in the postseason. They may be getting rings. Mets and the Orioles are tied going into the 9th inning. And I talk about the Yankees being bad in extra inning games at home. I think the Met record sucks at home in extra innings, too. I'll get you an official stat on that. A lot of reaction to what many Yankee fans are deeming their worst loss of the season last night because of the ugliness of it. But there was something I learned this morning that I have to admit is one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. I play fantasy football. Loogie still plays fantasy football. We are in the same fantasy football league, if memory serves correct.
We were.
What do you mean we were? You left the league?
I had to.
Loser.
I had to cut the... Why am I a loser? I had to cut down. I was in 4 or 5 leagues. It's just too much. It's too much, whatever, money. I had to cut down.
I understand that. Like, I'm a one-league kind of guy. Like, to me, with fantasy sports, I need to focus on one.
You're monogamous when it comes to fantasy.
Very monogamous. Like, I've got the one baseball league that I do run, the football league I don't run. Mm-hmm. I'm a part of it. And what I love about fantasy is creativity. A few weeks ago, we even talked on the air about the loser kind of penalties that some leagues have. And we even saw that, I forget if it was a Met or a Yankee game recently, of a guy dressed as a clown with a t-shirt that said, I lost my fantasy league. So that's a very common thing. But I saw an idea I had never seen before, and it came from the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's, if you guys have forgotten, they're a baseball team. They still play baseball. and they have a fantasy football league. And a video has come out, I saw it this morning, of how they're determining their draft order. And I've never seen this before. They're all basically playing bocce with a bunch of baseballs. They're having a contest in which they're all on the upper deck, all right? They stand up, each of the guys in the league has a baseball, and they throw it to, I guess it was second base. I forget the actual thing they were throwing towards. Doesn't even matter. For you at home, it could be anything. And the person who's closest to the target gets the number one pick. The person second closest to the target gets the number two pick, or gets to choose where you pick, which I know a lot of leagues do as well, because there are some people that like to overthink it and say, I don't want the number one pick. I want the number seven pick, or whatever you decide to do. But basically, they're playing bocce with baseballs, and based on closeness, that's how they're determining their fantasy draft order. And I got to tell you, I love it, because isn't that a lot better than the randomizer on Yahoo? I mean, come on.
Way better. So I have been very critical of our fantasy baseball league that we're still in and the way we decide our divisions. Perhaps that's what we should do next year. Come up with a way where we do an athletic competition to decide who's in what division. So yeah, I like that for loser, and I like it for division. It should never be up to the person's choice.
No, I agree. Look, in our baseball league, there's a consolation tournament in a lot of these fantasy leagues, which is a real loser tournament. Like, who the hell needs a consolation tournament? And we turn that into how you're going to draft the following season. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But that's a keeper league. It's very, very different. I like the idea of some kind of competition to determine draft order. I love it. The problem is, because I brought this to my commissioner. I took the idea. I went to our commissioner. I said, Mr. Commissioner, what about this? And he revealed the problem that some leagues still have in 2024. No one does an in-person draft anymore. So no one's all in the same place to have this kind of competition.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Petition to determine draft order because all of us got lazy after COVID and we're like, oh, we could do this on Zoom. Who the hell needs to be in the same room? And to me, that has killed the draft. It is not the same if you're doing it online. I'm sorry.
No, I agree with you. I used to love when we did yours, our baseball one, in person. Now it would take, 3.5 days. You'd celebrate 4 birthdays during it. But it was fun. It was the camaraderie of it. My issue with the A's thing, though, is that they did something-ish sort of baseball-y. They should have got out of their comfort zone and did something that made them look foolish. Like, they obviously all could throw a baseball. They should have did something like kick field goals or putting or something that's a little bit more challenging.
What I would do, if you could get everybody in the same room, is you throw a football the furthest. And the person who throws it the furthest gets to choose where they want to pick. And, you kind of follow in that order. Or is that unfair because you're rewarding athleticism?
Yeah, Tiki's in our league. So he gets the first pick and we'd all be screwed after that.
Well, then what do you want to do?
We can't do bocce ball. We're not 90-year-old people down in Florida.
It evens out the athleticism. Like, that's the beauty of a sport like bocce. Tiki doesn't have some kind of distinct edge over me or you because he played in the NFL. He's literally flipping a giant ball and trying to get closer to a tiny white ball.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe on a par 3 closest to the pin, but if you play golf a lot, you'd have the advantage there. What was something that... Oh, bowling maybe? Nobody's like exceptionally... You claim to be really good at bowling. We've never actually seen you bowl.
I used to be very good at bowling. I haven't bowled in a long time, so I can't tell you I'm good now.
You don't lose it. You don't lose it when it comes to bowling. So maybe something with bowling or Pac-Man. How about the highest score in Pac-Man?
Highest score in Pac-Man?
Because it doesn't take athletic skill or Frogger or something.
How about skee ball at this rate?
I love skee ball. My wife and I, when we lived in the city, there was a bar where all you had to do was buy beer and you could just skee ball for free.
Oh, no, I'm
and we would skee ball our face off for hours. It was right around the corner. I know Sal brought in the Papa shot.
Yes.
I think you need to bring in spend a little money and bring in a skee ball thing, and we could do skee ball tournaments here in the newsroom.
Spend a little bit money to get a skee ball thing?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think that is? $50? It'd be thousands of dollars.
No, I'm sure it's like.
To get a real skee ball thing?
I guarantee you, if you go on, I don't know if Amazon would have it, $500 on eBay for skee ball.
I think it'd be more than that. Those things are like really big, man.
No,
like a real skee ball thing?
Well, Sal brought in the Papa shot. Aren't they in the same family?
Papa shots are not that
bad. No, but that's a legitimate Papa shot.
No, he's got a great Papa shot. Or BT has it too. I don't think it's just Sal's. Was it just Sal's?
Oh, I mean,
you're not giving credit to both of them.
I apologize.
Seems a little unfair, but that's
I just felt like when Sal got here, all this stuff came here. So perhaps they split it. I have no idea.
I have no idea whose Papa shot it is. But the point
is, the midday show has a Papa shot.
They have a Papa shot. Papa shots, I bought a Papa shot. Papa shots are relatively cheap. I'm not saying that one is cheap, but shots are not like skee ball things are really expensive.
I don't want to touch your money, even though I do all the time.
No, you're touching my money
now. Well, then I'm going to touch it. You have season tickets for teams you don't root for. You just bought Jet season tickets.
So what does that mean?
So you're doing something, number one, for content, number two, for the station, number three, for your fellow man. Think about these guys. You're basically sitting in the newsroom out there staring into space, and you got to sit out there with Dolph. I mean, half these people here, they basically want to quit in 6 months because there's nothing to do out there. How many times can you play NBA Jam? Let's get some skee-ball in the newsroom.
I mean, we do have NBA Jam out there, which is pretty badass. Yeah, I don't know if skee-ball's the answer, NBA Jam's the answer, but I give the Oakland A's credit. I like the idea of something to determine draft order. The randomizer's got to go.
$350, Amanda just told me online.
Amazon.
$350?
There's $351, and then there's one, a nice one, for $600.
Yeah, $600, I'm out of.
But $350?
So $350?
How big is the $350 one? Like, is it like a real skee-ball?
Let me see. Hold on.
Yeah, Luigi's getting excited. He's like, oh, my God.
I love skee-ball.
Uncle Evan may
buy this.
Uncle Evan may buy this.
It looks like full size.
Hold on. It's massive. This is a great one. $350, done. Evan, give me your credit card. I'll order that and a couple few things I need around the house. That's right.
Send me the link, and I'll consider buying it.
All right.
It'll definitely be considered. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jerry in Middletown, New Jersey. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Evan. How you doing? One thing for Luigi. 90-year-olds, I'm playing bocce this week with my son. He asked you about it, so... I'm playing with him this weekend at the resort we're staying, so it's not just 90-year-olds.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm joking. I love bocce ball.
And shuffleboard, too, by the way. I love that. That's for 25-year-olds as well.
Yeah, and Boca Raton.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the Yankee game, you were saying 2 points, it's one allowed. You're exactly right about the situational hitting, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
That Grisham play, I totally agree. But if you watch the replay...
Yeah.
The third base, it's partly blamed to the coach. He did have his hands up for a second, and he slowed down. That actually obviously cost him not scoring. But did you notice while he was running, he's watching the ball coming to the plate?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that. You got to watch the home plate because that slows you down as you're running. You know what I mean? So it's a combination of him and the coach putting his hand up. I mean, do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah,
I would say if I'm like putting out blame based on percentages, I would say it's mostly on the base runner. It's on Trent Grisham. He was not running at top speed. He should have just been moving as fast as he possibly could. Rojas was confusing. And I demonstrated that a while ago. You may have missed it. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. I tried to stand up and do it. We're not quite on TV yet. We'll be on after the Met game whenever it ends. But Rojas was not giving like an obvious try to score sign. It was very, very weird. It was indecisive what was coming from Luis. So I thought it was a combination of his indecisiveness, his lack of obvious of what he was trying to say to Trent Grisham, and then also Trent Grisham's got to move. Now, I mentioned earlier the Yankees are 1-5 now in extra inning games at home. The New York Mets are not much better. Now, the Mets have played, let me count them, 9 extra inning games at home. 9 of them. They are 3-6. So New York teams stink for whatever reason in these extra inning games. The Mets are not quite in extra innings yet. They're in the bottom of the 9th inning of a tie game. But assuming they don't hit, they would see another home extra inning game. And with these new rules, it actually drives me nuts even more when you can't win an extra inning game at home. Like, it drives me nuts even more.
It should definitely benefit the home team. It's like in the college football overtime rules. You know how many runs you need.
You know what you need to do. You're absolutely right. And by the way, there won't be any extra innings. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to wait a few seconds. Let me just wait. 1, 2. Oh, no. Something big just happened. But I don't want to spoil it in case someone was watching the game and listening to us at the same time. 5, 6,
seven, eight.
Oh, my God! Jesse Winker! Game-winning home run! And the Mets win it! Oh, my God. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, my God. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba. Boo-boo-bee-ba-ba-ba-boo-bee-ba-ba. Or Grimace.
Let's go, Mets.
Jesse Winker hits his first home run as a new. He was due to do it. All this guy did was torture the New York Mets for years, whether he was with the Cincinnati Reds, whether he was with the Washington Nationals, and it has taken a while. But I now say to you, Jesse Winker, on August 21st, 2024, after hitting a walk-off game-winning home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, I forgive you. I forgive you for everything you did to the New York Mets. I forgive you for Edwin Diaz. I forgive you for waving goodbye. I forgive you for that sliding catch where you waved goodbye again. I forgive you for July 4th. I forgive you for being a singles hitter since the moment you got here. I forgive you for all of it. Because on this August afternoon in Queens, New York, Jesse Winker became one of us. Thank you, Jesse Winker. The New York Mets win a series against the Baltimore Orioles. And to the New York Yankee fans out there that are listening, that are watching, you're welcome. We got you. We got you, kid. You wanted a series win against the Orioles? We just gave it to you. We're here for you. Brother help brother. Sister help sister. Cousin help cousin. New Yorker help New Yorker. And you know what I loved about Jesse Winker? So Jesse hits a fly ball to left center field. Wasn't sure it was getting out. Tie game, bottom of the ninth inning. And he got like 5 feet away out of the box and just starts just pimping. Like, I thought he was going to take his clothes off. I thought it was possible that Winker was going to be the guy, and I've said this before, that would celebrate a home run by just ripping their clothes off and being in the nude. But instead, he was pumping his fist. He was all excited. And I get it. It's a walk-off home run, two of them, in this three-game series against the Orioles. And when you are in a pennant race, and yes, the Mets are in a pennant race, these games are damn important. And this is why, even though the Mets had a bad call go against them a few innings earlier, in which a ball right down the middle that was, should have been strike three was called a ball, and it was doubly bad because the runner from first base was trying to steal second and was clearly thrown out, but it got negated because the 3-2 strike three, instead of being a strike them out, throw them out double play, which it would have been, turned into a walk 2-1 and nobody out. It is evidence that you just have to overcome it. You got to overcome it. And a credit to the New York Mets, a credit to this baseball team. They were able to overcome it. They overcame yesterday. They overcame a bad umpiring call. And they have overcome today. And they win a game. And they win a series. And at least for now, we can all take a deep breath. Now, positive Tommy, if you want to beat your chest a little bit, if you want to do your shtick, you're more than welcome. Stick away, my friend.
So, Jesse Winker, our hero. By the way, he has a huge wad of tobacco, the wacky tobacco. I mean, it is basically falling out of his mouth. He's like the Hocktua girl. He'll spit it out. I mean, he is just looking at him like a caveman. Yes, positive Tommy predicted a successful homestand. I was called delusional Tommy. I was called a liar. People wanted me to shut up. They wanted me muted. Well, guess what? I'm not going anywhere. There's no quit in positive Tommy. There's no quit in this Mets team. After a crushing loss on Thursday, and all of you thought the season was over, and then all of you thought the season was over on Sunday, the Mets are alive and well, and like I've been telling you all year long, do not make vacation plans in October because the New York Mets will be playing baseball.
That's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for the vacation plans argument. So this homestand is over. The Mets went 5-4. And I want to own something I said to you a week and a half ago. Not good enough. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm very happy they won this game. I'm very happy they won 2 out of 3 against the Orioles. But if we are being fair, and it has only been like a minute and a half since the Mets won this game, but if you want me to be rational, Evan, we have positive Tommy, we have rational mm-hmm. Evan, I would tell you that this homestand was a slight disappointment. Should have been better. I'm glad they finished strong. I'm glad they beat the Orioles. I'm glad they won the last two series of this homestand. But I own what I told you a week and a half ago going into this homestand. I needed 6-3. They went 5-4.
I'm glad you owned it, because I actually brought this up when we were discussing it before the homestand. I said, Ev, if they take 2 or 3 or sweep the Orioles, you should be pumped up, because it's the last thing we saw. They beat a good team. Now, from the positive side, obviously, they won the last two series. And I think getting off the mat after two bad crushing losses, whatever you want to call it, I think shows a lot with the resiliency. Severino, obviously, on Saturday, there are so many great positives. Nimmo not being hurt.
Sure.
Like, there are a lot of good things to build off. And if you want to believe in a little bit of positive momentum now going to San Diego, going to Arizona, and like I told you on Sunday, we discussed it a little bit today, just because, and I think a lot of people are like, they can't beat the bad teams. That doesn't mean they can't beat the good teams.
No,
and they beat the good teams this year.
That's where we...
Which says a lot.
That's where we completely agree. And the one thing I guess I would slightly disagree with you on is I don't care that they beat the Orioles 2 out of 3. They have to win series. They have to continue to win because they got to make up ground. They're 2.5 games behind the Braves. Now it's 2 games. But they have ground to make up. Like in the loss column, they're trailing the Atlanta Braves by 3 games. Like that's a number that needs to change quickly. So I don't care if it's the Orioles, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the White Sox, the Marlins, the A's. The wins matter. And you don't get extra points because you beat a good team. More like you don't get points docked because you lost to a bad team. So I give this team a lot of credit for a couple of reasons. Number one, despite Sean Manaea giving up the game-tying home run after he was flirting with perfection, and I apparently jinxed him, Manaea stepped up, got through that inning, got through the 7th inning, put a little bit of trouble on in the 8th inning, but Sean Manaea has pitched really well in the second half of this year. 7 innings, 3 runs, 0 walks, which is like a sight to see if you're a Met fan. Really good performance by Manaea despite giving up the lead. That's number one. Number two, Francisco Lindor continues to have this incredible resurgence after a bad start. I can't go as far as you and say he's not the MVP, but he's our MVP. And that's really all that matters. He's not going to win the MVP, but for us as New York Met fans, and if you're driving home from Citi Field very happy, congratulations. And I'm glad you stayed the full 9 innings. And just so you know, if you're in your car right now, the reason Sean Manaea didn't pitch a perfect game is because apparently I talked about it on the radio. So my apologies that I took a perfect game away from anybody listening right now. My apologies. But Francisco Lindor continues to be really incredible over the second half of this season. Mark Vientos continues to be great as he hits a huge home run in this game that gave them the lead temporarily. But here's the most important thing that I hope this manager realizes. Coming out of this game against the Orioles and moving ahead to a series against San Diego, Arizona, and Chicago. The New York Mets may not have a good bullpen. Okay? They may not. We may not trust Waskar Barazaban. We may not trust Adam Ottavino. We'll see about Dednil Nunez. He's on his way back, but he's been injured. We may not trust Phil Maton and Ryan Stanek. But the New York Mets have two guys. I'm holding up 2 fingers right now. The New York Mets have 2 guys in their bullpen that, dare I say, are very good. Very good. They have a closer in Edwin Diaz who got the job done today when he came into a tie game in the 9th inning against the Baltimore Orioles. You have an Edwin Diaz that I think we can say, while he may not be the guy from 2022, he has recovered. He's fixed himself. Diaz is back to being at least really good. He came into a tie game in the 9th inning against the Orioles, and he struck out Anthony Santander, a guy we'll talk a lot more about in November. Just wait for it. He went out and struck out Ryan Mountcastle. He pitched a clean 9th inning. So they have one of the top closers in all of baseball. That's good. The second thing they have is Jose Buhdo. And Jose Buhdo, and let me just say this, I don't know if I've said this yet on WFAN. I have said this on the Rico Bronya. I have a confession. I like Big Buhdo, and I cannot lie. And Jose Buhdo continues to show guts. Because even though he walked 2 guys and he loaded up the bases with nobody out, yes, there was a bad call mixed in it. Guess what Jose Buhdo did with bases loaded, nobody out? He survived. He gave up a sacrifice fly right after a huge strikeout and then a foul pop-up. The New York Mets have 2 really good relievers. So here's my advice for Carlos Mendoza, and I certainly hope you're listening. Use them. Use them smartly. Use them aggressively. and use them. Because if the New York Mets are going to withstand a pennant race, if they're going to make the postseason, if they're going to overcome the fact that the rest of the bullpen is closer to hot garbage than it is being the nasty boys of the 90s, then you have to overcome it by aggressively using Buto and Diaz. Buto and Diaz were not used aggressively on Sunday against the Miami Marlins. Mistake. Buto and Diaz were not used aggressively a week ago against the Oakland A's. Mainly because you used Buto 2 days earlier, down 7-1. Mistake. Here's the beautiful thing about mistakes. My parents used to tell me this, and now I tell this to my kids.
They didn't say you were a mistake, did they?
One time, but then they got over it. No, I'm kidding. My parents would never say that. Though I was a mistake, truthfully. They had plans canceled that night. They were supposed to go out with their friends. I've learned this. My parents told me this, yeah.
There was a snowstorm and they got a little frisky?
I don't know if there was a there may have been a snowstorm, actually. How do you know this story?
Because their plans were canceled. I just assumed the weather was in part of it.
Their plans got canceled. You know what happened. And yeah, you know, how's it going? I'm here. But what I tell my children, and I think my parents told me, and if not, I'm making it up right now, is it's okay to make a mistake. Don't make it again. So, Carlos Mendoza, let this be a lesson. You won a game this afternoon at Citi Field because you used your two best relievers in the most important moments of the game. That's what you did. You used Jose Buto in the eighth inning, used Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning, and while it wasn't easy, they both essentially got the job done. And you won. Congratulations. You won a baseball game. Don't make the same mistakes that you made last week that Lugie tried to argue with me about. Now he knows Daddy was right, and that's okay. Don't make the same mistake again. So congratulations, Met fans. We beat the Orioles. And to the Yankee fans out there, we got you. Win today, you're back in first place. Bada bing, bada boom.
Can we give some credit to Mendy for other thing? You gave the negative, I'll give the positive here.
I just gave him credit. He used relievers right. Now, don't make that same stupid mistake again.
You threatened him. So,
I did threaten him, but I threatened him in a friendly way.
No, I understand it's coming from a good place. Positively, though, he has been great with the lineup this year. Obviously, moving Lindor to the leadoff spot, he's been in the MVP conversation, in my opinion. How about moving Vientos to the two-hole? He's been red hot. Obviously, had the big homer today. Nimmo to three. He got hot. He's not afraid to move Alonso around.
And today, he hit Nimmo fourth, by the way.
So, Mendy manages with the gut, and his lineups make sense. It's not like, and I'm not trying to, I'm just comparing. With the Yankees, you scratch your head. Why does Boone do this stuff? With Mendy, it makes sense, or it's from the gut, and it ends up paying off.
Well, I like Vientos batting second. Remember, I kind of suggested that. Mendy may have been listening.
I think the Mets listen a little bit more than we realize here, because I suggested some other things that they took to heart, I guess.
Either way, they're in it. And now they begin a daunting West Coast trip where they take on the San Diego Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. One quick thing before we get to your calls, and we'll get to the Met fans who are driving home, the Yankee fans who are still pissed off about last night's loss. I ask a very simple favor of our dear friends down in the city of Philadelphia. Can you please help us tonight and beat the Atlanta Braves? So I'll say it. I know Lugie won't say it, but I'll say it. Let's go Phillies. Let's go Phillies. Let's go Phillies. It's not that difficult to do. Yankee fans were just saying it about the Mets. Sometimes, you know, pennant races make strange bedfellows.
No, in this spot, I'm definitely saying let's go Phillies. I was cursing them last night. I'm all in on that, for sure.
Yeah, a bunch of losers the Phillies are, by the way.
They are brutal.
They
haven't been good in, like, months.
I know. I can't believe in them. The Mets, by the way, are now 8 games behind the Phillies, 9 in the loss column. So I can't dream about that necessarily. But hopefully they give the Metsies a little help. Let's get to some of your calls. Jeff is calling from South Florida. What's up, Jeff? Hello, Jeff. Jeff going once, Jeff going twice. All right, Jeff, go back to South Florida where I hear it's disgustingly hot. At least that's what my my sister and my nephew tell me. Greg in Rockland County. What's up, Greg?
What's up, Evan? Big win for the Mets. And you mentioned what I was about to say. The reason why the visiting team has the advantage in the extra innings instead of the home team is exactly what happened today. Diaz pitched the ninth inning. So there's no safe situation. You're going to bring your closer in the ninth. Now, if the Mets don't score, they have to go to someone else to pitch with the runner on second. So the visiting team doesn't have to do that. They get to use their closer with the runner on second. So the better pitcher pitches in the tougher situation.
But
that's not just the.
But you know what's
it's
funny?
It's not just the Mets.
Excuse me.
Not just the Mets.
But that's also a strategic choice that you make. So, for example, the Mets today, after Jose Buto got through the eighth inning, could have said, you know what, let's have him pitch the ninth inning. Let's get a second inning out of him, and let's save our even better reliever for when there's a runner on second and nobody out. Now, teams aren't necessarily deciding to do that, but you can. And that's certainly a fair discussion. Like, do I save my even better reliever for the tougher situation where there's a runner on second and nobody out? So that's just teams making their choice that they want to use their closer in the ninth inning before using them in the 10th inning. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think it is a strategic choice, but I think most teams do it that way. Yankees did it last night, too. Clay Holmes pitched in the ninth because it was going to be no. And look what happened.
Yeah. I think the teams are thinking to themselves, let's extend the game. And so in the Mets' case, and it's worked out twice on this homestand, they both times went to Diaz in the ninth inning. Because I understand the argument of not going him into the ninth inning. Like, actually using someone else. Because think about it this way. If the Mets didn't score on Monday against Baltimore, or they didn't score today against Baltimore, who is pitching the 10th inning with a runner on second and nobody out? I have the answer. The answer on Monday was Ryan Stanek. The answer today would have been Phil Maton. Like, not good. So you are making a decision to use a worse, less effective pitcher with a runner on second and nobody out than using your best pitcher. But the Mets used their best pitcher, and they won. More reaction to the Mets defeating the Baltimore Orioles and concluding this homestand. Was this a good homestand? They went 5-4. I think we all expected a lot more. And where's your confidence level now as they head out west?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.